So light is radiant energy, electromagnetic radiation that falls within a certain range and is therefore visible to the human eye. The sun is, of course, the primary source of light for the Earth. And light moving at its constant of 300 million meters a second, it takes about 8 minutes for it to reach us from the sun. The sun and its radiation is absolutely necessary for sustaining life on this planet. You have that 8-minute-old light from the sun getting absorbed by chlorophyll found in chloroplast of plants, which combine with water and carbon dioxide, produce the energy that these plants need to grow. The cows eat the plants, and then I eat the cow when it comes to my plate in the form of a cheeseburger. So light is also necessary for us humans to see. The light from the sun, or from a torch, or from a flashlight, reflects off an object and into our eyes, which sends signals to our brains for us to interpret. We need light in order to aid us in gathering information on our surroundings. The sun lets us see dangerous animals from farther away. A lighthouse can warn ships of a rocky coast, and a flashlight can be used to illuminate a treacherous trail. This light that God created is obviously essential in sustaining our physical lives through the providing of energy and aiding in the identification of hazards, threats, and obstacles. All of these things are very nice, of course, and important, but what I'd like to focus on tonight is the metaphor of light as it is found in the scriptures. So in the very simplest of terms, we associate light with good and darkness with evil. So our questions for tonight are, what really is light in the spiritual sense, and what does it have to do with you and me? Now, in looking to answer these questions, we will first be further contrasting spiritual light and spiritual darkness. We'll then take a look at the Christian's tasks of walking in the light, as well as the Christian's role of being the light of the world. So as I mentioned, you could basically ask anyone that you know, and they would tell you that light is generally this metaphor for good, and darkness is a metaphor for evil when it comes to spiritual matters. The Bible uses the imagery and metaphor of light for God and good in two general ways. Way number one is with regards to our minds and intellect, insofar as light means truth and knowledge and understanding. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting verse 17, reads, "For received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." So that simile in verse 19, as a light that shines in a dark place, it refers to the confirmed and truthful prophetic word which the people were being encouraged to read. In Psalms 119, verse 130, clearly states, "The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." And we today use the image of a light bulb turning on over someone's head to represent a person finally being able to see, to know, or to understand something. And on the other hand, darkness, it equates to ignorance and a lack of knowledge. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18 reads, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." Now, the second way that light is used in the reference, that light is used in the scriptures is, of course, in reference to morality. And this is when it stands for purity, for holiness, for righteousness, and for truth. Proverbs 6:23 reads, "For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life." And of course, the opposite holds true, and that darkness represents sin, unrighteousness, and death. Romans 13:12, The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lust. So moving on to point number two, let us turn over to Ephesians chapter 5 and take a few minutes to look at this task that we as Christians are given to walk in the light. So in order for Christians to walk in the light, we must, of course, be doing the correct and approved things, and we must be doing them for the right reasons. So starting in verse 6 of Ephesians 5, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So here in verse 8, the scriptures tell us that we were once darkness, that is, unrighteousness and ignorance, sons of disobedience. And as you can read in the first couple of verses in chapter 5, but now we are light in the Lord. We are commanded to walk as children of light. And as you're no doubt familiar with, this word walk is speaking of our daily actions, our priorities, and our manner of living. We are warned not to be sons of disobedience, but to walk, to live as children of light, of righteousness. Now, it of course takes a constant effort to stay on the straight and narrow path while walking in the light. It's a task that's made even more difficult by those who would, as verse 6 says, look to deceive us with empty words. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting verse 13, warns us that For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. And we're warned further down in Ephesians chapter 4, at verse 15, to walk circumspectly, that is, attentively, looking up and looking around and paying attention, in order to find out what is acceptable to God, verse 10, in order to understand what the will of God is, verse 17, we must carefully study the word that he has revealed to us in the Bible. And this is known to us from reading verses like 2 Timothy 2:15 and Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So let's move on to 1 John chapter 1. Starting in verse 5, the scriptures read, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And skipping ahead to chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk, just as he walked. So we cannot claim to have fellowship with God if we are walking in spiritual darkness and unrighteousness. We as Christians cannot claim to walk in the light if we are not keeping his commandments. And we also cannot claim to be walking in the light if we're trying to get as close as possible to the edge of sinning while still technically being okay. Walking in light does not mean walking in twilight or walking in sunset. And our rationalizations will not hold water in the day of judgment. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We cannot be in fellowship with him if we are in any way partaking of the unfruitful works of darkness. Moving on to the next point. So we as Christians are not only committed to walk in the light, but we are told that we are the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. As Christians, we are commanded to be the light of the world. Our lives of righteousness, purity, and holiness, should act as a clear contrast to the deeds and lives of those in the world. If the people in the world are only ever exposed to those who are equally blind and unrighteous, then their works will stay hidden and in an atmosphere of darkness. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 through 14. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. The contrast that we provide, the light that we shine as faithful Christians, may be instrumental in breaking through the fog of spiritual darkness and ignorance. Wearing the name Christian, we are literally to be Christ-like. And Christ described himself as the light of this world in John chapter 8. Our lives should clearly reflect the light of Christ in order that those of the world may give glory to God and come to the knowledge of him. So like the shining light atop a lighthouse, we should be guiding those in the world to Christ and warning them of the dangers that lay ahead on their current path. So in conclusion, this metaphor of light found within the scripture is fairly easy to understand. Light is associated with righteousness, with godliness, knowledge, and the truth, while the opposite, darkness, is representative of unrighteousness, of sin, and ignorance. Christians are commanded to walk in the light. We all are also told to be lights of the world, to be an example, to be guidance and contrast with the unrighteousness of the world. God is light. God is perfect righteousness and moral excellence. Revelation chapter 21 lets us know that heaven will have no need for sun or moon because the glory of God provides illumination and the Lamb is its light. Those who keep his commandments and abide in him will, as we learn in 1 John 2:25, receive the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. As Jesus lets us know in 1 John 2:11 and John chapter 12:35, truly those who walk in darkness do not know where they are going. Their eternal destination, however, is going to be outside of the kingdom, away from the light of God, and what is described in Matthew 8:12 as the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So if you're a Christian here this evening and you've not been as diligent as you should be while you're striving to walk in the light, we can pray with you and for you. And if you have yet to be baptized and have been living a life of darkness, you can rectify your situation tonight. If you have any need, I encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing.